get ready to turn to Luke chapter 10. We started last week in a series of Call of Duty, Speaking in Faith. Hopefully you took some good notes and we learned how to take authority and not only believe in our heart, but say it with our mouth. It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to actually operate in faith and speak. Speak faith, speak hope. Let your own ears hear your own mouth say what your God and His Word believes, right? And we believe it, we must say it. And therefore, move into operating in faith what the Word of God says. There's a lot of people in the kingdom living below their potential in God. There's a lot of Christians who believe God but not are operating in faith. And so, first Sunday we talked about speaking in faith. Tonight we're going to talk about standing in faith, Luke chapter 10. And I hope you're really listening intently to God's Word. And let's see what can happen. And in the altar tonight, just for the record, when we come to the altar, we're going to believe God for mighty miracles in Jesus' name. We're going to speak to mountains. We're going to speak to issues, right? And we're going to stand in faith and believe God for the promises in His Word. Luke chapter 10, if you're there, say amen. Verse 18, He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That all is a pretty powerful all. You have more power over the enemy in Jesus' name. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And Jesus, we see responding to God, He rejoices in the Spirit. It's pretty powerful. In verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal it to him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, to hear what you hear and have not heard it. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see God do some great things. Eye has not seen, the scripture says. Ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has in store for His people. How many came ready to receive from the Lord? Something from the Lord today. And so we're going to look intently into this and see some key principles for those who follow Christ and those in the kingdom of heaven. Let's see if the PowerPoint works. If it does, just stay with it. I think there's another slide. Yeah, working, not working, good, not good, alive and well. Next slide. There we go. Key principles for the kingdom of God. Number one, you are called and chosen by God. How many believe we're called by God to stand in faith? It's the call of duty we have. So that's a principle you got to know. God doesn't call you just to lay around and just hope that everything works. You have a battle going on. You got to stand in faith for what you believe. It's time for the church to stand up in faith and face the enemy who's trying to destroy our culture, our world, our family, our finances, our future. So you're called and chosen by God to stand. Secondly, God placed you in the body of Christ to fight the fight of faith. It's amazing to me. Paul calls it a fight. I don't know if you've ever been in a fight, but unless you fight like a little girl or you shadow box, you're shadow boxing, you know, you're just beating the air. Paul said, I don't shadow box. When I get ready to punch, I'm going to lay somebody out. Nobody's just sitting here doing jumping jacks. We are in a fight. And so you're called and you're placed in the body to fight. And thirdly, you have a real enemy who is out to destroy your life and your faith. Satan's not completely happy until you're out, down and out for the count. And so these are principles. It's time for us to get an upper hand on the underworld. This, my friend, is a spiritual issue. This is not a physical deal. This is a spiritual deal. And there's many people sit in the pew in church week after week that have no idea about the spiritual warfare going on around them. Do you know there are things going on in the heavenlies? while you came in and while we were worshiping, enemy is got plans and schemes and snares and traps waiting to destroy or deter you from following after God. So sometimes we think the enemy is our flesh and blood, but scriptures tell us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, right? The true enemy is not the government. It's not the Republicans. The enemy is not the Democrats. The enemy is not your wife or your wife's family. The enemy is not your boss. It's quiet in here. Your enemy is not the pornographer or the liquor store or the drug pusher. Those are symptoms of the real problem. How many know there's a real devil who's out to kill, steal, and destroy? So these are victims of the common enemy, Satan. So the reason so many times we don't win the battle is that we never show up for the war. And so it's important that we understand who the enemy is. We wrestle against God's enemy, Satan. It's a spiritual foe, and therefore it's a spiritual battle. So in order for us to stand in faith, number one, we must see the adversary. We must see it. You must get an idea, recognize that you're living in a real world here, physical world, but you also have a spiritual world around you. There's another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension around you, and you can't see oftentimes what's going on in your physical eyes. You have to see with the eyes of your faith. You have to discern through the Holy Spirit that there are enemies, there's things targeted against you and your family to either slow you down or to stop you in your tracks. We must learn how to recognize when Satan attacks. Now, how many here been serving God long enough to know that you've experienced what you know of as a real attack of Satan against your life, against you personally, against your family, against your kids? Let's just say it. It's real. It's real. It's nothing to play with. It's nothing that you learn how to intellectualize and go over that with your head. You've got to get in the spirit and see the enemy for who he is and what he's trying to do. And, you know, it's amazing to me. The closer you try to get to God, or the more you try to do for God, then the more he rises up against you. And so many times we blame everything else except what's really going on. And marriages have blamed each other, spouse. Homes have blamed parents. People blame their boss. People blame the church. Oh, listen, you blame the pastor. How many know the pastor is not your enemy? You got a bigger enemy than that. And so we put it off on everybody else, and it's time to show up for battle. And our battle strategy begins by recognizing the enemy. The Bible says Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven, verse 19. He saw it. He was there, actually. He was there. He understood when Satan went after Job. Job had to get a clue what was going on, and he didn't get it at first. And he had friends that didn't get it. You know, hey, Job, I'll tell you what your problem is. You know, if you would just get forgiveness from your old sin and fleshly ways, God could heal you. He'd say, wait a minute. I'm a righteous man. Can I tell you, the enemy will attack righteous people. You know who the enemy's not attacking? The unrighteous. I said the enemy is not in the bar room tonight. He's already got them. They're in a drunken stupor. He don't have to fight with them. He's after the saints of God. People who are reading their Bible, going to church, people who are full of the Holy Ghost, who are making a difference in the kingdom. If you're a threat to the enemy, he's got a target on your head. You got to see that. Jesus said, that when Peter tried to convince him not to go to Jerusalem, do not go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. This is what Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus understood, he recognized, this is nothing to do with it. He said, Peter's just a man. Satan is behind this. Peter didn't even know that he was trying to stop the plan of God all along. Jesus knew what his mission was. And he knew what he had to do to see the enemy at work. So he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the thoughts that Peter had. He saw a greater force behind the scene. Very few Christians live like that. And there are the extremes, you know, that see the devil behind every bush. You know, and I remember the early 80s, the charismatics, they had a devil behind every bush. And some would grow long ponytails and whip the devil in the spirit, you know, And so it got wild there for a little while. And so what many people in the Assemblies of God did was back up all the way on spiritual warfare. How many know that Satan's got a plan? I said he'll use that to make us back up and deny warfare and fighting in the spirit and seeing spiritual things because of excessive teaching and false doctrine. So he uses every angle he can to stop spiritual warfare or stop you from seeing the real enemy. So we get so consumed with what we can see and touch, we rarely consider the instruction Paul said to us to learn how to see the unseen. Don't get so caught up in the visible that you forget there's an invisible world here. And because we don't see it, sometimes we don't engage it, and so therefore we don't get into the ring. We don't get into battle. So we argue with our wife or struggle with a rebellious child. You need to know it's more than just an argument or a rebellious child. There could be a real enemy trying to divide your family. Could be deeper. It could be way more than just a spat. It could be an attack upon your family. So you got to see what you're standing up against. There's author John Eldridge identifies this volitional ignorance of the enemy as the most dangerous choice a believer can make. And he says this, to live in ignorance of spiritual warfare is the most naive and dangerous thing a person can do. He says, I like this, he says, it's like skipping through the worst part of town, waving your wallet above your head. It's going down deep in the worst part or area of the city and waving where thugs are and just waving your wallet. Hey, coming to rob me. That's about how ignorant that is. He said, it's like walking into an Al-Qaeda training camp wearing an I Love the U.S. t-shirt. See, that's about how ignorant it is to not know the enemy's devices. He says it's like swimming with sharks dressed as a wounded sea lion and smearing blood all over yourself. You're just waiting for an attack. You're just waiting for death. So do not be ignorant of the Satan's devices and plans. If you choose to ignore the battle, it doesn't make the enemy go away. You can choose to ignore it, but the enemy's still there, and he's still attacking every day in some way or another. So refusing to fight at all is disobedience, because the call of duty is that we see the adversary and we stand and fight against it. So it must be our call of duty. If you don't, you dishonor the call of God on your life. And if you don't stand, it will endanger your life and your family. It will endanger your church. It will endanger your nation. We must stand. I said we must stand. Soldiers of the cross, we must stand up for Jesus. And understand, see what's really going on in our country. It's not secular humanism. It's Satan who's lying and deceiving and putting a web out there to trap people in the lie. So the enemy is really out to destroy. It's time to stand in faith. So who is this enemy, Pastor? Let's see. Satan is a liar, a thief, an accuser of the brethren. He's been called a murderer, a roaring lion, or he acts like a roar. I had to add, he acts like a roaring lion. How many know there's only one lion in the tribe of Judah? How many know he's got all authority? So he acts like a lion. He goes about seeking people he might devour. But he is no lion. He's a liar. He is a deceptive angel of light. He's the author of confusion. He is a false teacher. He is the enemy of the cross. And we are engaged with that kind of an enemy. He's playing for keeps. He's playing for keeps. He wants this next generation more than we do. I said, it's time for the church to stand and raise up a generation of warriors for Christ. If we don't educate them about who the adversary is, help them learn how to see it, they will be succumbed by the enemy's tricks. The church is not a cruise ship sailing for heaven. We're not invited to ride the gospel showboat. We're not here to entertain anybody. How many know there's a generation that needs to rise up and be accounted for? Stand and take your place in the battle. So we're called to serve on a battleship, destroy strongholds, and to deliver the gospel to those who are living in darkness. That's the call of duty. So open your spiritual eyes, see who the adversary is, and I want you to look at 1 Chronicles 21, 1 and 2. As I read this week, David was moved by Satan. It just shook me. Satan stood up against Israel. Isn't that something? I mean, that's pretty plain language right there. Satan stood up against Israel. And David was moved, it moved David to number Israel. Satan tempted David and moved him to do something God had already told him not to do. Just like he deceived Eve, he's always putting deceptive thoughts in your mind. And David, it says, said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. With arrogance and with pride, he began to number the people of Israel to see what kind of people was in his kingdom. Can I tell you? Right there is a good sign that you're on your way to destruction, because God, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen? And so he began to get blind to what the enemy was doing around him, and he got into trouble numbering Israel. So not only should we see the adversary, number two, we should stand with authority. We should stand with authority. Verse 19, Jesus declared in verse 19, look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It's God's design. He said, the Father's given me authority, and now I'm leaving, and I give you authority. In my name you shall cast out devils. You will speak in new tongues. How many still believe that? See, it's not a passing thought. This is a serious mandate. It's a call of duty. I give you my authority. You're going to go out in my name. The authority I had, I'm giving to you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And I'm not going to send you without any power. I'm not going to send you without any authority. I'm not going to send you without any anointing. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. How many are glad for the Spirit of God? I know the Sunday night crowd loves the Spirit. Amen? Sunday morning too, especially the Wednesday night crowd. But those who come understand that we are in a battle and we need the Holy Spirit, right? We need the Holy Spirit to fight this battle. Man was given authority and dominion over all of creation, but he forfeited it at that authority because he was tempted in the garden to sin. Taken out of the garden, Jesus Christ comes along and gets that authority back. How many are thankful for what Jesus did? Man was separated from God. Jesus came back and took that authority. See, Satan has authority over he's the prince and power of the air, over the earth. He was kicked out of heaven, down to earth. Jesus saw him, and he put him down to earth, and that's where he kept him, and that's where he is. And his demons and all his imps and all the spiritual warfare that's going on, if you could see. It's real. It's real, and many people haven't faced it or have just ignored it, but there is a real devil and a real warfare going on, and we cannot forfeit the authority God gives. Amen? He gave us authority, and he designed for us to be restored, and we possess authority over Satan and the forces of evil. That's what it said. I give you authority over Satan and all the forces of evil. Now, that authority is transferred authority. So you've got to really understand, we struggle a lot with this doctrine because we don't feel like we have any authority. You know, we're all feeling unworthy to be the Lord's, unworthy to be in his army, but we do have authority, and we fail to recognize the difference between authority and power. It's important that we get this. There is a difference between authority and power, and Satan is powerful, and we cannot be deceived. We need to learn how to recognize the difference and never try to compete with Satan in your own strength, right? He has power. I said Satan has power. How many of you believe that? If he can make people levitate, if he can make their eyes turn tripping colors, and there's some wickedness in the spiritual realm. I said there's some wickedness in wicked places. And I had a family come to me one time. They said, oh, Pastor, my daughter, she's just painting her nails black. She's wearing all black. She wants to have, you know, baby dolls, take them apart and put them in an aquarium and look at them. And I said, my goodness, I mean, this is serious business. I said, hey, ma'am, can I ask you, you know, what is she reading? What was the last book that she read, do you know? Oh, I just bought her a whole series on Harry Potter. I said, well, your daughter's smarter than you. You're the dumb one, Mama. How many know you got to be out of your mind to give your children? Oh, Pastor, now that's just an educational book. There's nothing wrong with Harry Potter books. Well, listen, you're opening yourself up to the wickedness and the schemes of the enemy. Oh, Pastor, you're old school. That's dumb. Well, why? Well, listen, you allowed seed to come into your home. You gave that to your child. And now nobody in the world, not a psychologist, nobody can get rid of it. It has to be gotten rid of in the name of Jesus. It's amazing how much you'll believe God when your children are going crazy. Now it gets serious in the house. Before, it was just a little literature that everybody's reading. It's just a little movie everybody's watching. And I'm not here to pick on Harry Potter or anybody else. I'm just telling you that wickedness dwells in the spiritual realm. And Satan will deceive a whole generation to make them think it's just a literature. But there's some literature you can get a hold of that'll get a hold of you. I said there's some things you can get a hold of in the name of game or games. Funny, call this Call of Duty. There's some videos that you get a hold of, it'll get a hold of you. I know you don't hear this much preaching like this, but this is the truth. There is an area in the occultism, and there's an area of spiritism that if you open up and let it in, it will get a hold of you and you won't be able to shake it. So the idea is to flee from all of that. Don't even let it. And we prayed for her, and we asked God to help her and deliver her. And it wasn't about the color of her nails. It was about the sanity in her brain. Because Satan will put a warp on your brain, and you'll be all confused playing with baby dolls that are all headless and cut over. That's just craziness. Something's wrong. So, oh, it's just today. You know, I think Satan's even using toys today. Toys to preach his propaganda and teach his lessons. You know, neutral gender toys. Some pastors, some parents are just like, well, if my baby wants to play, I just let him play with it. No, you better help your baby before Satan gets a hold of your baby. Somebody needs to stand up and speak up before the enemy takes your family. Now, you don't hear that preached because it's not popular. But, some people are getting on TV and talking about it while pastors are just passively letting it go. But I'm telling you, you want to keep a hedge of protection about your children, you better monitor what they watch and what they read and what they do. Otherwise, he'll creep in unaware. And the difference is that he's deceptive, he's persuasive, he's sinister, he's strong. But Jesus promised that we have authority over him. In the name of Jesus. Does anybody still believe in the power of Jesus' name? I remember I used to go to the nursing home to see Sister Foster in my last church. And I'd pray for her. And she didn't hear well. But she, you know, she wanted me to pray. And I couldn't leave the room until I prayed for Sister Foster. You know, Brother Ron, you better pray for me. Honey, I plan to pray for you. So I'd pray. And she, before I get started, she'd say, now remember, at the end, you must say in Jesus' name. I said, Sister Foster, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. I believe that, baby. I'm on your side. But she was so adamant about praying in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, there is no other name. I said, there's no other name and there's no other authority that's going to be able to do what Jesus can do. And as facetious as some might think, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I speak over the enemy in the name of Jesus, because it's the Holy Spirit that can break the bondage and the yoke of sin. It's the name of Jesus, because only one died and only one broke the curse of sin. That's Jesus. So that authority and that power is not yours. It's his. He handed it over to you. In his name, he gave you the keys to unlock spiritual warfare. So Jesus promised that. But as a referee has authority in a football game, tonight I just watched a little bit before I came. I went to pick up Melissa while she's getting ready. And I saw the Saints and the Texans playing a preseason game. And lo and behold, no male chauvinist pig here. I believe women can do all things. But I think I saw a woman referee. I think I did. Had her hair all tucked up, cute as a button. Hallelujah. Let me just explain the difference between power and authority. You got a 300-pound linebacker who's got uniform on and pads, and he's mean, green, you know what I mean? But if he gets out of hand, a little lady comes over with a striped shirt on and says, That's the difference between power and authority. He may have the power, but she's got the authority. Are you getting it? And even if it was a man, he's still skinny, a little old man. That linebacker can lay him down, tell him, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But she's got the authority. He's got the authority. It's just like an officer of the law. You can say what you want, but they have the authority. Right? Now, many people have abused the authority. And abuse of authority breaks down the trust factor. How many trust the Lord tonight? Let me see. You still trust the Lord? Hey, listen. And the Lord trusts you. I want you to understand this because this is a powerful thought here. It's not in my notes. I was praying before service and I said, I think I need to say this. Because it really all comes down to a trust factor. It really does. Because no matter who you respect, the issue is if you abuse that authority, you lose the trust. And although God loves you, are you hearing me? Although God loves you, he will strip every bit of authority he gave to you right back out. And King Saul is a good example. I said King Saul is a good example. King of Israel, stripped of his authority and his anointing, taking his throne, gave it to another because he couldn't trust him to listen to his voice and do what he said. Samson had power that was only given by the vow. I said it's the covenant that gave Samson the vow. Inside the covenant, he had the power and the authority. But if you misuse that authority with Delilah, you strip your power and anointing. You strip your authority. And I think that's what's going on in many cases. People are still trying to do like Samson and shake themselves and come up with power in the name of Jesus. But they have broken the covenant and lost the trust. If your children, you give them trust enough to have the keys to the family car, and they total it out every other week, how many cars are you going to buy before you take the keys away? Do you understand? If you abuse the authority, it takes the trust. So God loves you, but he's only going to trust the ones he gives authority to are going to be the ones he trusts. So you can forfeit the trust and limit your authority and your power. So Satan can be limited. You can limit the influence in your life with him, but you got to have the authority. You should not try to compete with Satan according to strength. His legions and demons are stronger than your flesh. I don't mean to put it so bluntly, but you have nothing outside of Jesus. He will annihilate you and throw you to the wolves. And he has no concern for you. And that's why he needs deceptive ways and traps and snares. And that's why he uses arrogance and pride to stroke you and tell you how awesome you are. And or vice versa, tell you how bad you are. You ain't no good. You know, and when I hear those things, I just say, get thee behind me, Satan. You're too late. And if a human comes to me and says, Pastor Ron, you're not all that, I say, you're too late. The devil already told me that. I mean, no, he's always telling us that, right? And so you need to learn to wage war with not flesh, because Corinthians says, 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can do that in the name of Jesus. Amen? So we need Spirit's power to stand with Almighty authority. It's not by your power and not by your authority, not by your might. It's in the name of Jesus. And finally, surrendering your ability is another thing we need to do. We need to learn how to surrender our ability. Many times in America, we think a lot of ourselves. We're self-centered and arrogant, and we think we got this. In fact, many Americans don't think there is any other countries. Like, there is another country? Is there other people besides Americans? Did you know there's a whole world out there? And some of them are doing better than us right now. I said a lot of them are doing better than us. Here's what I think. If you see the adversary, Satan's trying to weaken our country and weaken our people and take God right out of our churches and our schools and our government, taking God out to make us the weakest people on the planet. Because the only reason we had any blessing was because of God. How many know God has blessed America? I said the only reason we are who we are is because of the living God. On our currency, we say it. In God we trust. And now it's just a saying. So this is the critical element of standing with authority, is to surrender your ability. Jesus said the truth about spiritual authority has been hidden from the wise and the prudent. I think that's pretty incredible. He said, but it's been revealed to infants. Verse 21, he said, I've taken from the arrogant intellectuals and I gave it to a baby. They get it. And the intellectuals and the strong and the prudent, the wise kings of the day, they don't get it. And a child in the arms of God is mightier than the armies of the world. I said, a little child in the hand of God. You know why Israel is so powerful? Not because they have anything great. They're God's people. And as long as God's hand is upon Israel, no one will be able to hurt them. That's the authority they have. They have been designed as God's people. And listen, if we're smart, we'll stay with Israel. If you're smart, you will stay with Israel. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Believe God. In 1948, when their war was going on there and they became a state again, it was a battle, and front pages of the paper. How in the world did Israel do that? How did they win that war? Easy to tell you. God won the war, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. And if you're with God and in covenant with God, you can be certain that none of these things will hurt you. Is anybody excited about that? Not scorpions, not anything, not death, nor life, nor things present, nor principalities, nor things to come in the future. Let nothing hinder the people of God. You're in covenant with the Lord. And so it's critical that you get this, because Paul wrote to the Corinthians that the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. Listen, the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. In your own flesh, you can do no good thing. John 15, he says, we are nothing. I said, without him, we can do nothing, and we are nothing. We need him. How many need the Lord tonight? When you're willing to surrender to God as a child does to a loving parent, we can access the power of God in our lives. When a child submits to the parent, they have to trust that the parent's going to take care of them, provide for them, not let anyone hurt them, right? And you can see parents who care about their kids. They always got an eye on them. You think the parent's nowhere around? Listen, hang around. As soon as anything goes a little different, that mama will pop out from somewhere. She's got eyes behind her head. She's not going to let anyone mess with her baby. Now, I don't know if you've been alligator hunting. I've been down in Louisiana. I went alligator hunting. Me and Mr. Jerry went out in the marsh. And we came up on this bank in the marsh and had a nest of alligators, baby alligators. And we were going to check out the eggs and just, you know, we was in the boat. We weren't that brave. We weren't that brave. We was in the boat trying to stretch out our head and look at the little baby alligator. All of a sudden, we heard this big mama alligator go and open up her mouth. I'll tell you what, he and I almost swam all the way back to the it was serious business. You don't mess with a mama and her babies. And that's what God's saying to you. You're mine. I have called you. You have purposes. You have plans. You have blessings. I put my stamp of approval on you. I got the guarantee of the Spirit in you. You've got my authority. I gave you the papers. You are bona fide my people. And nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing by any means should hurt you. And so I want you to catch that, because we as proud Americans don't want to submit to surrender to anyone. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then in conclusion, I want to tell you, last week we talked about speaking in faith. Chrissy, you can bring your team back. We're going to worship in just a little bit. We talked about speaking faith to the mountain. That's found in Zechariah 4, 5 through 7. Said this, so the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then he says, what are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. Now, that's a pretty emphatic, declarative statement. That is standing up in the face of a mountain. Whatever your problem is tonight, I believe it's time for us to stand up and face it. You cannot ignore it. You cannot just hope it goes away. I mean, no, the enemy could be behind it if you could see it with spiritual eyes. Some of you maybe tonight are under attack. You need to speak to that mountain. He will bring forth the top stone, the cornerstone, with shouts of grace, grace to the mountain. I think the grace of God wants to completely come to your rescue. He not only wants to save you spiritually from your sin, but he wants to save you from your trouble. Amen? In the name of the Lord, he wants to do something. So I want you to stand with me tonight. There's a big difference between surrender and commitment. Somebody holds a gun and asks you to lift your hands and surrender, you don't tell that person what you're committed to. You simply surrender and you do as you're told. Americans love commitment because they're still in control. But when you get to this place, when your children are painting their nails black, tearing apart baby dolls, reading occultic issue things, dressing all in black, going into depression. How many know if it starts affecting you emotionally and spiritually, how many know it's probably more than a little fairy tale book? It starts getting a grip on what you do. Tearing apart baby dolls is not the most Christian thing to do. Something going on psychologically. I said, the light's on, but nobody's at the house. Satan blinded their eyes. I said, Satan wants to blind your eyes so you don't see the adversary. I said, the God of this world wants to blind your eyes so you don't see the adversary. And if you don't see it, you won't speak to it, and you won't stand up against it. So you have a call of duty tonight. You have a call of duty. Some of you are facing issues in your family, in your faith, in your finances. Some of you are concerned about your future. There's a paradox here. Victory through surrender. We got to learn how to surrender to God. I don't know what Chrissy and the team are going to sing and play, but all of us usually come to worship. I want those of you who need to stand up in the face of an adversary tonight. If you got a spiritual attack, you feel like something's going on spiritually, you see it, you sense it, and you need somebody to stand with you, I want you to step out first. You who know tonight that you're up against a struggle, a battle. If you're up against a battle, if you're up against a struggle, something's affecting change somewhere. You know, you've seen it and you know it. There's an attack on you spiritually. There's an attack on your family. There's an attack on your job. There's an attack on you spiritually. Some way, the enemy's attacking you. And you know it. It gets very, very personal. Don't be afraid. Come all the way up here, because we're going to have to differentiate between who's going to be praying, breaking through strongholds, and who's just going to be worshiping the Lord tonight. You got something you need to break through, come all the way up to the platform. Stand all the way up on the platform. Pastor, I need this thing broken in my life. And it's not going to come out by just attending church and hoping it goes away. This stronghold is not going to come out by just wishing that you didn't have to deal with it. You have to speak to this mountain. You have to stand and face it. Anybody else, real quickly? Quit blaming everybody else. See the enemy for who it is. Stand with authority over your family, given by Jesus through the Spirit. Surrender your ability. You can't do this. This battle belongs to the Lord. Every one of you here tonight say, got a battle going on. Battle going on? There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. Anybody else? There's a battle going on. You got to show up. And you're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. It's a call of duty.